Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. And I'm Julia Cannon, and today is August the 14th of 2015. And I'm always a blank when it comes to that date. It seems like the year and the month and everything is just flying by, and the summer's definitely going by.
Oh, yes.
I know Shonda's here, and I know you were just talking excitedly about school starting on Monday.
Oh, yes. School starts Monday.
And so I guess there's other parents out there and grandparents and excited about children starting school soon. So my little one is, I don't have that to work with anymore. So it's not an issue around me. So I just have the kids, your kids around. So
yeah.
Anyway, and then we have the classes coming up. A reminder again, we have our level three now is officially closed. We have all of our positions filled, and our level two class, we're still taking sign-ups, and level one is full. It's getting
up there, yep.
Yeah, a lot in it. And level two, we still have some openings. And that's in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and that will be here in just a few weeks now, like about 3 weeks, I think.
Uh-huh.
And so that's going to be really, really nice.
Oh,
yeah. Very excited about that. And then right after that, like within a few days after that class is over, leave, and we officially know it'll be Barcelona, Spain. We'll be doing a level two. And then to Beijing, doing a level two, and then we'll be doing a first time. What Leo wants to do over there is he wants to do a reunion there of like all the Asian practitioners. So that's going to be exciting, a new thing. And then I'll go to Australia. That'll be in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to do the level three and level two there. Very exciting. I mean, so we just got a lot of things happening.
Oh, yes.
And then we're still working on the location, but I'm really, really hoping for Kauai, Hawaii. And that'll be our little stopover. We'll do a level two there and then on the way home. So that fills up completely the month of October. And then I'm home. Yay.
Home for Thanksgiving.
Yes. So that's everything happening there and finishing out the year. I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start working on next year's schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which we already have been. Yeah. I'm already working on Russia, going to Russia next July. And what else? I know we've been working on the conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll talk more about that as we get it. We're working on some exciting things for the conference, but we're not going to let you know yet until we get it solid. So, just wait. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Okay. All right. So I want to let you know about the toll-free number. That was what Mom did. The 800, then she'd give an 888 number. That always was like, okay, that makes no sense. So the toll-free number to call in if you have any questions of our guest tonight, and that's, and the subject matter, because our guest – you know, and our subject matter is going to be on QHHT, so, and on sessions. So that leaves it kind of broad. So you can call in with anything related to that. So it's 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And I'm really excited to have our guest tonight, and I'm so excited to have you, Diane. This is Diane Morrison, and she's been a practitioner for, gosh, you know, it's several years now, and I've just seen you grow and develop, and it's just been so exciting to watch you, Diane. And welcome, welcome, welcome. And
thank
I
you.
Love you.
I love you, too.
So, thank you. What I want to do, Diane, I know you were on not too long ago, but just what I'd like to do is, first of all, I'd like to hear your story a little bit, because I love your story. I always love everybody's stories, you know, because it shows people where they came from and then how they got to where they are. And then we'll go into some of your exciting sessions and things like that. But you know, let's hear a little bit about how you got to where you are, you know, because that's always the fun of it, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. So let's hear your story.
Okay. Well, it was actually, back in probably 2010 that I got a copy of Custodians. And I had been really interested in the UFO experiences, and that was something that was kind of a little, that was one of my favorite topics to read about. I was kind of curious, and I had some things that happened in my own life, so I was looking for puzzle pieces. I was looking to figure things out. And then I got a copy of Custodians as a gift, and it became sort of a life-changing experience when I read the book, because as you know, I was reading the book, and it just started to help me make sense of my life, and different things started clicking. It was like putting two and two together and solving the problems. Everything shifted when I read the book, and I know this is something that happens to a lot of people in different ways, but all of a sudden I realized that this was what I was looking for a long time. And I knew immediately that I needed to meet your mom. I needed to meet Dolores, and I wanted to have a session. But as I've said before, you know, I called the office and asked if I could have a session, and it was a year-long waiting list at the time, and I knew that just wasn't going to be good enough. So I signed up for the level one class and signed up to go to Arkansas on the spot because I knew I had to be there. I had to meet her. I just had to be around her, and I decided the best way to do it would be to learn the technique. So that was kind of my radical move, which was it was something very different for me. I would have never done something like that unless it was that big. So that was how I got started. I hopped the flight to Arkansas and took the level one, and my life changed completely for the better since that moment.
Are you normally spontaneous like that?
Not that big, you know, not that big at all. And so for me, that was a departure from my more planned out way of living, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't take big risks like that. I mean, I was a steady person. I went to traditional college for occupational therapy, planned my career, you know, took a few different jobs, but it was always, that was my focus, and I thought that that would be my focus for the rest of my life, that I would stay in that career because I loved it. I loved helping people to help themselves. I had no idea that I was going to change course so radically, even though I had been looking for more natural healing techniques, and I had been shifting away from traditional healthcare just because there were things that I was seeing that I didn't feel good about, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So I felt that we were missing something, that for some reason people weren't healing in a way that I intuitively knew they could with the system at hand. So when I found quantum healing, QHHT, I really felt like I found the way to help people help themselves in a big way. I continue to feel that way to this day. So it's remarkable. It's an amazing technique. And that book, Custodians, was pretty much how I started my journey with QHHT and your beautiful organization.
So what was in the book, do you feel like, that kind of triggered? Do you remember anything in there that actually triggered?
Well, I don't know if I can remember the specifics, but what I remember was reading the stories of people that had experiences and reading about what their feelings were when they had these experiences and what their memory was like and what their understanding was like. And then when they went into the sessions, they were able to get sort of the real story behind the story. Mm-hmm. And it helped them solve the mystery of their lives that they had been seeking. And it was always a better story than what their fearful part of themselves thought it was. And so for me, I had some interesting things happen to me when I was a young adult. And I spent the next 30 years trying to figure it out by reading and searching and studying. And it wasn't until Dolores's book that I started to feel, when I was reading other people's stories, oh my God, something happened to me and I have to find out what, you know? And I really liked it because I had spent a lot of years being sort of afraid, but sort of knowing it was a good thing what happened to me. And I was sort of scared of knowing what really happened. But at the same time, reading her book made me feel so happy because everybody that went to your mom and had sessions with her found out it was something much, much better than what they feared it was. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah.
It didn't matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if they, whatever it was, it was okay.
Yeah. And it was part of a much bigger picture, a bigger plan, something that usually was altruistic and helping people. And it just was not in their conscious memory, the details, that's all.
Right. Did you ever, I mean, because now it's, I'm trying to, in 2010, we didn't have the practice sessions in the class then, mm-hmm. but you would have had a session sometime around there, probably.
Yeah, what happened was, and, you know, this is the story that I kind of tell about what happened at level one, was I was sort of like, the whole time my heart was racing, like, when can I get a hold of Dolores? When can I see her so I can ask her if I can have a session? I knew that there was no way she could give me a session, but I was, like, compelled to just ask. I had to. It wasn't even an option. It was sort of like I needed to ask her anyway, even that knowing she was busy and you guys were going to China, I think, right after our level one. It was, her schedule was packed. And, okay, so for all purposes, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I had to ask. So you know, I met her in the bathroom. and on my,
the best meetings are in the bathroom. You know that.
Oh, you got a captive audience, right? So on the way out of the bathroom, I made myself ask her, even though I was so nervous. And I just kind of went, so Dolores, if I wanted to have a session with you, is there any way that you could help me? And is there any way that you could have a session while I'm here? Because I came all the way from Western Mass. And could you please help me? And she kind of went, how? And put her hands up. Like, how could I do that? And I did ask her, could you possibly compress time for me? And so, you know, she said, I just don't know how it could be done because we're leaving for the trip that we're on. And I said to her, okay, so what can I do? I need to have a session and I need to figure some things out. I said, should I find somebody in my area? And she said, yes. And I had looked for somebody in my area before I went out to Arkansas, and there wasn't anybody kind of close enough in my general area, so I didn't feel comfortable. I just wanted somebody closer to me than the people that I found online. And so when she said, yes, go back to your area, find somebody close to you, that would be the best way to do it, I said, fine. And when I went back and I looked online again, there was somebody in 20 minutes away from me.
Wow.
Who had not been there before I left.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, and things like this always happen, as you know. things appear when you need them. So, yeah, so that's I didn't have my first session until after I completed level one. And no, we didn't have any practice sessions when I was there at that time. So it wasn't till later that I got to really experience it. Yeah.
So did... And I don't want to get personal. You don't have to reveal any personal information if you don't want to. Did you ever have, like the situation that you said, you know, you had that experience that you think you had. Yeah. Did that ever come around in the session? Was that ever exposed?
I've had a few sessions, and I'm telling you, it did, but it wasn't until my level two training in 2012. It wasn't until that point that I actually built up the courage to ask the question, because I knew if I asked the question, I would get the answer. Mm-hmm. So, and that level two was where I first had an opportunity in training to actually do practice sessions with other practitioners. So I had my opportunity in 2012 at level two training. And I had the greatest guys to work with. They were just so amazing and so supportive. Just love them. They're just amazing people. And we still kind of stay in touch to this day. But I finally asked the question, and I wrote the question in such a general way that I could handle the answer no matter what it was. And I basically just asked, what happened to me in 1986? 1979 and then 1986, because I had two experiences that were curious, I will say. They were very curious experiences. And the first one frightened me because it was just so outside of my frame of reference. I had nothing to compare it to or understand it. You know, nothing. Nothing in my known world at the time, at 18 years old, could have prepared me for what I experienced. So it was frightening because I didn't know how to make sense of it. So I did get brave enough to ask those questions, and I was given the answer. And I don't mind sharing that the question was generic, so the answer was generic, but it was clear. And basically, I was told that, and this is not something I mind sharing, that I was off track in my life. And so I came here with a purpose and a plan, and you could call it a mission, like many of us, if not all of us. You know, all of us have this, but not everybody wants to understand it, I guess, in this life. So I did. I was on a mission, and I got lost, and I was told that they, my group, tapped in and found me and gave me just enough of an experience to help me go searching for the answers. Because as we know, you're not going to get all the answers just so easily, because that would take away your experience of trying to figure out things and why you came here. You wouldn't, it would rob you of an experience if you just got all the answers. It wouldn't be a test if you had all the answers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. Your mama. Your mama asked the higher ups about that, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then she taught us that you know, it wouldn't be a test and basically it wouldn't be a learning experience if you got all the answers. And truly, it wouldn't be as much fun either, because we like to search. We like to find things out. It's a fun thing to do that. So it made me feel good. I did cry a lot in that session, because the feelings when you're getting that information coming through are so loving and so kind. And I remember just sobbing because of the love that I felt from my higher ups, my group, you know, how kind and tender they were as they told me. I could feel the feeling, the energy behind it. And I just felt so loved that that I was off track, and this group of people came here and found me and helped me get back on my track, my course in my lifetime. I just felt the most amazing, infinite love. So the session was very powerful for me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. We are all loved so much, and in quantum healing you get to actually experience what that feels like when you connect with what we call, you know, the subconscious in this work. So we're definitely a fortunate bunch, clients who come for these sessions, and us, you know, all of us practitioners who are able to have this experience too. We are so fortunate for Dolores's technique, so that we can understand just how great we are, how great the love is, and how much we are loved. It's beyond our human comprehension until you get into that flow of energy, I think.
Right, right. Well, that was a beautiful segue. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the sessions that you've had, because I know I just love hearing about, you know, one, you talk about your sessions because you're so passionate about your work. And let's just go ahead and talk about some of the wonderful things that you've been experiencing and exploring.
Yeah, well, I would say that more recent sessions have a little bit more to do with the loving energy that's coming into our planet and helping everyone to sort of wake up and become more aware, raise consciousness, raise what we call the vibrational frequency on the planet, if you will, uplift it. Many of the people that are coming now are people that are here to help, and they have amazing energy, and they don't necessarily have to do a whole lot, but they're here to help energetically on the planet. there's one young woman that I was really, really happy to meet who came for a session, and she's someone who is going to be instrumental in the, you know, I will say, I'm going to say, you can ask me if I sound too woo-woo or out there, you can ask me to clear that up or whatever, but she's going to be instrumental in sort of helping the earth, uplift the earth, in restoring the balance between the divine feminine energy on the planet that was sort of, the divine feminine was sort of lower than it needed to be in terms of balancing the energy of masculine and feminine and things like that. So her role was going to be really important in restoring the balance in the divine feminine energy on the planet. And, you know, she was shown another lifetime where she was a healer on a different planet. And so it was to help her remember what she did before, the love and the loving community that she came from, and that she was going to use all those skills in her life this time to help the earth to become more loving, kind, and nurturing. So that was a huge session. That was powerful. The energy was just so loving. And I always like to stress this because I think sometimes when if people haven't had a session, they don't really know what it's going to be like. And so when a human doesn't understand something, it kind of fills in the blanks with fear.
Right. That's usually the first emotion we have. You know, if we don't know something, we go to fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that old tape of fear plays a lot when people try to step out of their comfort zone and do something new and different to help themselves. And one of the things I feel most passionate about is that I want to let people know that this is probably one of the most loving experiences you'll ever have in your earth life. The energy that comes through your connection with your higher self is a state of unconditional love. So it's the most amazing feeling and experience on the planet. I wish everyone could experience it, you know. So I like to try to tell people it feels really good, y'all, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here in New England, but I love saying y'all because it feels so good. So,
sort of Texas roots.
Yeah.
Southern roots.
I love it. It just, you know what? Y'all is so inclusive, and isn't that what it's all about?
That's right.
Yeah, it's all about everyone. So y'all is a short form of just, it's all about everyone. So that was a lovely session. And I do have to say, you know, sometimes lately I'm getting people that are, I'm going to call them late bloomers. I'm getting people that we might refer to as light workers on their path who made a plan for themselves that they would wake up at this time and start helping people to heal themselves and become more conscious, like raise their consciousness. There's some late bloomer light workers happening where they've been riding out the wave, toughing it out on planet Earth as Earth gets a little bit lighter. And they know they're here to do something. And all of a sudden, they're kind of like, what the heck am I supposed to do? I think I'm supposed to wake up now. But they're fighting it. And they're having a little bit of a conflict within themselves about some experiences they're having. They're not sure if they can trust it. They're in a little bit of doubt and resistance. And so they're coming here. And we have a little wrestling match, meaning I have to help them feel so comfortable and just accept whatever comes through so that they don't block their own higher self from coming into their lives and guiding them in a way. And I don't know if this is a pattern that's going on with other people or not, but lately I've had a few people coming here who they know stuff. They've had experiences most of their lives. They're very intuitive. They get good guidance, but they're not quite trusting it. So they're in this in-between state before they kind of say, okay, this is real. This is really happening. I have a good connection with my higher self. I'm getting guidance all the time and I trust it. They're not quite there yet. So they come for a session and oftentimes they're talking for a long time because they haven't met people in their lives where they can talk out loud about some of the things they've been experiencing. They're afraid that people will think they're crazy. And it's so sad, but good at the same time, because We all are intuitive. We all are psychic. We just haven't all developed those skills yet, but they're very, very much part of being human, and we just haven't been practicing them enough, you know?
So right, that's what I, exactly. That's what I like to say. These are our natural abilities, and anybody can do this.
That's
and
right.
It's just a matter of allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. So I think some of the cases the trend lately is that I'm getting these people who, they're a little bit older. They've been on the planet a while, and they've been through some hard times, and they've been a little beaten down. You know, they've gotten a little bit discouraged because, you know, it hasn't been the most pleasant life, or maybe they've had experienced some trauma or some, you know, sad times in their life. So they're kind of trying to shake it off now, you might say. And so the sessions become long because they need to talk about their life. And I am so happy to be here with this technique and be able to listen to them and reassure them. There's so much reassurance going on now that they're fine, and, you know, this is something that is natural and normal. And they're actually just kind of ahead of the curve. They came in at an earlier time on the planet, and now, even though it was hard before and nobody listened to them or believed them, now it's going to be a lot easier for them, so they can relax a little bit and open up to the messages that are coming to them. And most of them are on healing paths, you know. They're here to help people or be healers of some sort. So, yeah, it's not always, the information doesn't always come through with ease, but we get it eventually.
I just got a message that some of them, a lot of them are feeling like it's too late. Are you getting that sense?
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't feel like it's ever too late, because if you really think about it, there's no such
thing. I realize that we don't think it is, but do they come in with that sense?
Yes. I would say... Right. That's probably true. They're a little nervous. Like, is it too late? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I miss the boat?
Yeah. That was the sense I had, that they think it's too late. And so I think people out there need to hear that. No, yeah. It's not too late at all, but they feel like it is.
Yeah, that's okay. It. And they're kind of scared. They're like, did I miss my calling? Is it too late to get on track? Why am I realizing this so late in the game? And you know, then the earth plane thing comes in. Am I too old to do this now? And I just look at them and I say, oh my gosh, no. Because in fact, all we're doing is gathering life experiences. The longer we're alive, the more we experience, so the more we understand, and then the more we can help other people understand. So the older, the better in some ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a technique that supports people in healthy aging and being a wise elder, which is something that's kind of ancient on the planet that got forgotten. You know, a lot of times our older people in society aren't given the respect that I feel like they deserve, and I know you feel the same way. But it's time for us to bring back respect for our elders in that way and honor wisdom our whole life long, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, your mom is a wonderful example of growing older with grace and wisdom. I mean, talk about being sharp as a tack until her departure. You know, she's a wonderful example for all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So those are some of the trends I'm having in my sessions. Little reluctant healers, I'll call them.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Are you getting, well, and I like that one where you said they showed her like a life on another planet to show that she did this. She had these abilities to bring this to here, the healing that she was going to need to do that. And that's what I wanted. Yeah, I think that's important for people to know that they've done these things. Whatever they need, whatever they're going to need here, they already have this. Whatever abilities they need, they have it already. They have it from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I will say, the session I had just the other day was something similar, where she's really discouraged. She has been really discouraged, feeling completely different than anyone in her circles of friends, and feeling kind of alone, like a loner, just being like feeling like an odd duck. And actually, she was shown a past life, a brief past life, where she was an individual on, we didn't find out till later that it was a different planet. She was shown a past life on a different planet where it was very desolate, not many people around, and it was a very hard life. And she was shown that, we found out later, to help her in this life, to show her that she was strong and that she made it through that life, which was much more desolate than this one. So it was almost like she was shown a life that was way more difficult so that she would understand that this life's not that bad. You know,
right?
She has creature comforts here. She did not in the other life, where she was really shown in like a kind of rags. She was wearing rags, and she kept saying, you know, she was dirty. Her body was dirty. She was out in this like sandy desert type area, and there weren't a lot of people. She was kind of alone, and she was in rags and tattered, and it was a tough life back in the day on that planet. So she was being given support and told later, you know, we wanted to show her that life so she would understand that she's been through way worse than this. This is a great life for her in many ways. And if she could make it through that one, she can make it through this one with ease and flying colors. So that was kind of a nice reassurance to give to her.
Yeah, they help you put things into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Been there, done that. What's the big deal? You don't realize how great you are.
Exactly. It's funny. She was shown another life after that to give her something else to focus on that was very, very interesting. And I totally blanked on what that was after that one. It's almost like sometimes I think in the sessions I go into a little bit of an altered state too, because it's just so wonderful. You get carried away with the story. Even though your mom told us to be very objective, I know sometimes I just get carried away.
Oh, no, she did the same thing. I think we all do. I think you do. You go into a zone yourself.
Yes.
And you're fully, you are there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there in your own little space, your own little zone. So, no, you're fine.
True. And, you know, sometimes, as you know, people will be describing the scenes that they're seeing, and in your mind's eye, as the practitioner, you can actually see exactly what they're seeing because you both are kind of joined up for that moment in time. So, yeah, it's very amazing. So yeah, those are some of the trends. I mean, through the years, I've had the most interesting sessions where sometimes even the SC will throw in, well, this happens since I moved into this house, which is actually just since last November, too, where all of a sudden, out of the blue, the higher self, the SC subconscious, has an agenda to help you with an issue in your life, and you're there facilitating for the client, and all of a sudden you get a little lesson or a teaching or some helpful information to help you in your life. You did not ask for it. You did not know it was coming out of left field. Here comes something for you. It's a zinger. So I think that as time goes on, it's very, oh my gosh, it's just so interesting. So, like one day I got a little piece of information for my son, for me to understand my son. And it's sort of like, wait a minute, you're bringing my family into this now?
And what, you think you're excluded?
Yeah, it's just so interesting. So people that don't, your clients that come to you who don't even really know your situation or your family or anything, are all of a sudden giving you information from their higher self about your life. And later you talk about it and they say, I had no idea. I had no idea that that was going to come through, or, you know, how would I know that stuff? So it's very interesting.
Well, exactly. And there, if anyone had any doubts, the client, anyone, that has to add validity.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so it could have been there for that reason as well.
Yes. It's almost like everything that happens is happening for a reason, a purpose, that sometimes our conscious mind doesn't understand. But afterwards, when you reflect on the session and talk about it, you realize there's this, I'm going to call it a divine plan, because it's just so amazing. There's this intricate network of things that are happening behind the scenes that we don't understand until we tap in a quantum healing session, where you get that information to help you put the threads of the tapestry together, I guess we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and like we've seen happen in here, you know, Shonda, you've said many times when people will call into here, you know, how we they'll ask for a practitioner, and you mm-hmm. say, well, call the one, you'll look on the list and find yeah. the one that resonates with you. And then they'll talk about the practitioner that they found was, I mean, the synchronicities and the things like that.
Oh, yeah. I had a lady just yesterday. When I was on Dolores' list, they said in my session that I wasn't ready. And then we got to talk about...
Because she wanted a session with Dolores.
She wanted a session with Dolores. And she said
whatever.
Actually,
this is a really good story. Tell the story.
So she called up asking about... she had heard on somebody else's YouTube about September 27th was going to be Ascension Day. And I tried telling her, you know, you live in 5D when you're ready to live in 5D. There is no specific set date, time, whatever, because time doesn't exist in universe. And so she got to telling me that, oh, well, I was the lady that was scheduled to have a session with Dolores and had to be rescheduled whenever she fell. And she had originally been put on the list years back, somehow had managed to be bumped off the list completely, called me probably a month or two before Dolores had fell to get back on the list. And so, of course, I've kind of bumped her up so that she could get in because she'd been taken completely off. And then Dolores fell and I had to call her. And my poor little heart, that was just so hard to tell all these people that had been waiting for years. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to reschedule you and I don't know when I can reschedule you. So she said, okay, I understand, and went on and found another practitioner here in Arkansas. And whenever she got into her session, she said that the SC told her that when she was on Dolores' list, she wasn't ready. And that whenever she got with this other practitioner, it was time. She was officially ready. And she said the knowing whenever she had talked to this practitioner and finally met her was just immaculate. It was so profound how she just, that feeling of knowing, she couldn't even explain it to me over the phone. There was just that feeling of knowing that this one was the right one. Mm-hmm. Had an amazing session with that practitioner. Ended up finding out about a move in the session that 2 weeks later she found out in real life about. So that kind of really threw her for a loop. And she was just the perfect little lady to chit chat with yesterday.
Yeah, and I just think that's amazing. I love it, you know, but that's how it works. And I know you probably got tons of stories like that where people come to you. I mean, they just, it fits like a glove, you know, when they come to you, they just saw you on the website or on the listing, whatever, and they knew you were the one.
Yes. Yeah, that happens quite often where people say, I know there are practitioners closer to where I live, but there was something about you that was drawing me to you. And truly, I feel like as people are becoming more aware, they're becoming more aware of this energetic matching, I'll call it. It's just you resonate with certain people more than others. It's nothing bad or good about anyone. It's just simply a similarity in your vibrational frequency that helps you to work very, very synchronistically together or something. It's just a lovely flow of energy when these things happen, and they're happening all the time now. Sometimes I'll drive to see people if they are having trouble getting to me because I'm kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And when it feels right, I do it. When I can help somebody out in that way, it feels right to travel. So I did that recently where I traveled a couple hours to see this woman who was in a situation where she wanted a session. She had been wanting to have a session for about 6 months, and she had had a move, and she had had a change in her family structure, and she had kids, and she was a single mom now. And, you know, the story was so compelling, and after having been through some things like that in my life, I really felt a heart connection with this young woman, so I drove to see her. And then as the session began and we started talking, we started to see this little weaving that was happening in our lives. She had lived, her family had lived in the town where I just moved out of, and this thing and that thing overlapped, and all of a sudden it was starting to be this lovely little interaction that was so blatant you couldn't ignore it. Like, of course we were supposed to be matched up together. You know, I used to live where she lives now, and all these things as we talked unfolded so that we couldn't miss the similarities, if you will. It was so obvious that we were supposed to be there and have that session. And the interesting thing that happened with that one too, like, this is so, it gets kind of expansive because her session tied into another client's session. They had her, one of her guides was somebody that this other person was working with to bring information into Earth, like inventions and things like, and new scientific information. So not only was there a connection between the client and myself, but then the client, myself, and another client, and similar data that was coming into the Earth plane. So you start to get, this is how I feel, like, as you do this work consistently, you're getting your own training, you're being given a broader perspective of how this huge, gigantic puzzle fits together. Every person in the right place, every event in the right sequence. It's just, it's nothing short of miraculous when I step back and look at it all, you know?
Well, that's similar to what Mama's doing. That's what she talked about. She was putting the puzzle pieces together. That was the books. So.
Exactly. Well, you know, this woman that I just went to see is a young, I keep calling her young. She looks so much younger than actually even her Earth years. So I kept thinking she was really young, but she has that, just that youthful appearance. But she actually is self-publishing a series of books, and they're, let's just say they're being downloaded to her, and it's coming out in a novel format, and I think she's going to really be big. And to be able to be part of her journey and meet her now while she's, you know, in that phase of, oh my God, like, you know how we all go through it. Am I nuts? Is this really happening? You know? To be able to be there for her, give her a helping hand and just reassurance and say, you go, girl. And to be able to get a copy of her book that's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be big. Was just, to me, the most amazing experience, because people are getting incredible amounts of data or information downloaded to them when they're open and receptive and balanced, meaning they're getting this information because they're ready to have it and they're very balanced individuals. Otherwise, it would kind of throw them off kilter. And so I don't, you know, we know that the higher self would never do anything to throw anybody out of balance. They're always protecting us, always loving us, and giving us just the right amount of information. But this young woman was receiving so much information. She was actually receiving data for three books, a three-book series. The first one's completed already. She's self-publishing this one. And then she's getting the downloads for how the second and third fit in and what to put in them. And in her session, she was given clues about how the second book is going to unfold. So without asking directly for that information, she was given it. And I'm even going to tell you, there's a funny part of this story, even after the session. Normally I take my laptop and I make a CDR of the digital recording so they can have it right then and there. And really, it's important to listen to it, so I want them to have it right away. But something very funny happened to my digital recorder the night of her session. And when I went to make a CDR, the date was really mixed up and I couldn't find the date for her session. There was something wrong and I couldn't find it. I knew it was on the recorder, but I couldn't see it on the laptop as the right date. So I said to her, I'm really sorry, it's getting late and I got to drive to get home and I'm going to have to send this to you. I know I can make it work, I just don't know how right now. So I went back home. I'm talking to the higher self and asking him to help me figure this out. I had to sleep on it. Next day I woke up. I clicked on the session that didn't look right as the recorder was communicating with the laptop, and it was her session with a completely wrong date. So I called her and I told her what happened, and she goes, I said, the funny thing is the date for her session that was incorrect was January 1st, 2011, 12 a.m. And I said, I have no idea, but it's kind of funny that it's all ones, like 1111.
Okay.
Okay. So then when I said that to her, she goes, I'm going to have to Google that and Google it connected to this guide that she has, who was an inventor on the planet in a, you know, earlier hit time in our history. She goes, I'm going to have to Google the two of them together and I'll tell you what I come up with. She texts me later and she says, you'll never believe what happened. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, this is the new way of living. But she said she Googled the date and that inventor, which is one of her guides helping her with this information. She said she found an article, scientific article. It was in a different language. She had to Google translate the article. And she said the information in that article that she found was the scientific data that supported the information she was writing for the second book in the series. Exactly. It supported her scientifically in what she was writing about. It, like, you just can't make this stuff up. So,
oh, my gosh. And you never would have found it.
Right. If that whole thing hadn't happened. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It takes your breath away.
It's my.
You know, what are the chances?
Really? I mean, you can write a book on that.
I know.
The finding of the...
to me, this is happening. Every session has some wild story that's not even about the session. It comes before and during and after the session. Mm-hmm. It's almost equally significant to the session in its own right, you know? So the coolest thing of all is she got some scientific backup for her writing. She got reassurance, and she's going to incorporate it into the second book. And this is a woman who has no scientific education. She was not trained in science. However, it's been an interest to her. She's been researching articles. It's almost like she's driven to learn and bring this information forth. But it's also fun to me that she has no scientific training, no traditional scientific training, and yet her books are heavily scientific. Isn't that interesting?
You did a session with her, right?
Absolutely.
Did she go back to a life with any scientific things or...
Yeah, I think I can probably tell you this. Actually, it was interesting because it was a life in Germany, wartime, and she was a person in the Nazi regime who she was very uncomfortable with the war situation and what was happening in that group. She was very uncomfortable. She didn't agree with any of it. She felt like people were kind of up to something, even though it was really secretive. She had an office job where she could kind of have a finger on the pulse of what was happening, but not know all the details. And she was a recorder of information, historical information. Does this sound like anyone we know?
Mm-hmm.
So, your mom. So she was a recorder of the information, and it was... you know, it wasn't the most happy, light life, but what happened was she was in a position where let's just say the research they were doing on some of the chemical warfare and how it affected people was part of her job. She had to go and interview people that had been chemically burned by these new biological war weapons, you know, and she was beside herself because she had so much compassion in that role. It was making her sick to her stomach that her job, she was required to go and interview people that had been experimented on with chemical weapons while they were close to death. And she had to talk to them about how they felt, what they were experiencing. And this one person was suffering incredibly. And she was just sickened by the fact that she had to talk to this person about their experience when they were suffering in that way. And it was really gut-wrenching. And she was crying. It was sad. But then the person did pass away when she was interviewing them. And so she was able to talk about that. And we talked about how what a blessing that was that they could leave the body. and not have to feel that anymore. But this was part of what was going on in the regime. They were testing on people, and they were doing these things to people, and they wanted to. They were sort of they were making historical documents and researching every detail and every nuance of the experience of chemical warfare, because that's what they were doing at the time. So she kind of saw that life, and it was not the happiest life of all, but again, she was this recorder of historical data in that life, and that recorder, that recording things, had to do with her life now, the way she's writing and bringing forth information that's scientific in nature, and a lot of it will have to do with the capabilities, some capabilities that, you know, humans will figure out in time. But again, it's written as a novel, mm-hmm. and the information is scientifically significant. So, you know, she was kind of shown that life to show that she's done this before. And in this situation, it was kind of a complex past life because she's working in partnership with a, you could call it a twin flame or a twin soul, who is not in a body on the planet, but working with her closely from the energetic field, if you will. Mm-hmm. So she was actually kind of shown that life to show her that was the other, her other half's experience, and she needed to know how he felt when he was in that life, because it gets so convoluted, but they were both children in the same apartment building, and he really liked her. And so she disappeared after there was some air raid, and he never saw her again, but they loved each other, even as little children, and they were each other's other half. So she never knew what happened to him, and she was shown that life to kind of show her what he had to experience in that life, and also that to know that he had always loved her. So it was like a love story and this aspect of showing what he had to do, what his experience was in that life, and that they were still connected, even though he's not in a body. She's here now, but he's with her energetically. So there were layers and layers and layers of connectedness between them and this story. So it was fascinating. Just fascinating.
That's really good, because, you know, there's probably a lot of people that have feelings like that, you know, that they know that there are parts to themselves. Because I think more of us are realizing that there are many parts to ourselves, mm-hmm. in many places, as, yeah. you know, as the veil is thinning, we're becoming more and more aware, mm-hmm. of, I guess, aspects. That's what's coming to me, aspects of ourselves.
Yes, and I love that you're saying that we're talking out loud about this, because to me it's very important that we understand that, you know, I mean, part of it is that when people say we're all one, there's a truth to that, but it takes a little bit of expansion of our consciousness to understand what that means, and I think we're all still trying to grasp that concept. We're all actually part and parcel to the whole, the one. We're all kind of one, but individual expressions of the oneness. So when we tap in to the super consciousness, or what we call the subconscious in this technique, we're tapping into almost different aspects of ourself, whether we see it as a past life or as an aspect of ourselves. I think it's all the same. You know, we really are all one ginormous source kind of being, you know, and we experience it as separate individual lives. And that's fine, because that helps us to stay organized and not, doesn't get us, you know, too out of balance. You know, we experience it as different individual selves, but in some ways it really is all us. If we're all one, then it's different parts of us. And it's almost like there's a unifying process going on now, where we're understanding our, you know, our multiple aspects of self and our multidimensional self, we can kind of say. We're learning a lot about how we all fit together. It's really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just noticed the time, and looks like we have like 1 minute we're going to have left here. And what I want to do is
let you know how people can reach you. How can they find you, Diane, if they do want a session with you or get to know you better or just communicate with you?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And I do have a Gmail account, and it basically is three words all stuck together. Healing is the first word. Healing Works Salon. So it's HEALINGWORKS and then SALON at gmail.com. Healing Works Salon at gmail.com.
Okay. Do you have a website or a Facebook or anything like that? Or
I have a very rustic website, and it can be found at Healing Works Salon. Usually, if you Google Healing Works Salon, it'll usually come up to my very elemental website.
Okay.
And
okay.
I could also give my home business phone number is also 413-773-8229. So any of those ways work.
Wonderful. I feel like you have a final message. You have a parting. You have something you want to say, and I think that's what we'll end on.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, first I just want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for, you know, taking the reins at Ozark Mountain and with your mom's work. I feel like we're only just beginning. This work is just beginning to show its significance in the world and how it can help people heal and gain understanding in the world. It's such an amazing and valuable technique. So I think we're just starting to scratch the surface of human potential here. And I feel like we're very fortunate to be riding the wave with quantum healing. And if anybody can experience a QHHT session for themselves, if they have any interest in this, now's the time, because it's amazing how it can change your life for the better, how it can help you feel more empowered and give you direction to your life to help you come, you know, accomplish what you came here to accomplish on your mission. So it's just a fabulous time to be a part of this technique. So I thank you so much for even just allowing me to be here tonight. Thank you, Julia and Shonda.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much, Diane. Thank you for being here. And it has been our honor and our pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And we wish you all a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. And have a fantastic time. And make it great, everyone. We love you all. Yes. Bye-bye.